Hey, friends. Welcome back to The Unschool Files, a podcast featuring the varying lives of unschoolers. You're listening to episode 6. This is a mini-sode of my ramblings on kids and language freedom and what we do when we encounter problematic language. This is an opening to a conversation that I would definitely like to have more input, more dialogue. So join me for a conversation. A lot of conversations have been coming up around kids and language freedom. Parents are concerned that their kids' language is problematic in one or many ways, whether it's because they're repeating something that someone else said that they have no idea is, you know, racist or bigoted, or they are swearing a lot, or they are making jokes that are harmful jokes to marginalized groups in our society. How do we deal with that? How do we address problematic language while also giving kids the freedom to decide how they show up, represent themselves, and how they speak? This is a really really tough one, because you want to not micromanage your child, and the child I'm thinking of in my mind at the moment is a teenager. So to some degree, I think this could apply to younger children too, but I don't know. I guess it just depends on what kind of language your child is surrounded by, so that, you know, gives them their vocabulary bank, and sort of what you do on a regular basis, that your child uses language with other people besides you. So it's different for every situation, but in my mind, I'm thinking teenagers right now, because I have a teenager and this has been a conversation with my teenager. We tossed around the idea about doing a little Q&A here on the podcast about how he feels about language and parents policing language and language freedom. But podcasting's not really his thing. So I told him, don't worry about it. I'll take these things that we've discussed and I'll think of some way to talk about it. So this is personal experience wrapped up in this conversation. So it's not me telling you any answers. It's me questioning with you. What do we do? You want them to be able to express themselves. You want them to be able to speak in a way that's feels for them like that's the best way to get their message across to whomever is listening. But at the same time, you don't want them saying things that are problematic. Several of the things I mentioned before those things are costing people's lives. Continuing to use language that is racist, bigoted, homophobic, it's costing people their lives. So, and that's an entirely different conversation that there are so many podcasts out there that are talking about that. I'm certainly not an expert, but my understanding is that letting that language be perpetuated that is rooted in those ideas is only going to continue the problem. So we have to stop that. So that leaves me at this intersection of wanting to let my son, in my case, my son, say what he wants to say, but having to step in and be like, oh, hey, by the way, You probably don't want to say things like that because that is insert whatever. And he's kind of pushed back and been like, what? No, this is how we joke with each other. And that's really where I came around to this predicament is what do we do in this situation? So we talked about it and he says, okay, how about I take your information that you have around language that you have when you hear me say things, as long as you don't tell me I have to change it, I cannot say it. You can tell, I'll listen if you have things to say about something that I said, but I don't want you to tell me that I have to change it. I'll decide. That's how he feels. I'll decide. So I felt like, you know what, that's a good compromise because he's willing to listen and he's not going to be like, I don't, no, stop. I don't care. I don't, mom, leave me alone. Because I think that's a common misconception in people who are on the outside of unschooling or maybe people who are new to unschooling is that child-led or self-directed means, you know, at all cost. And it doesn't. It's in alignment with your family's rules and values and all kinds of other things. So it's important that these conversations can come up and you can address them. And I felt like, you know, that's kind of where we met and I feel comfortable with that right now. Now, I think if I continue to hear anything that feels problematic, which I haven't really, just a couple of things came up between him and his friend. And this is when they're gaming. So they have headsets on and they're, you know, they're like, it's almost like when we were kids and we were like physically outside running, they're having the same kind of adrenaline rush on headsets and mics. And they're having a blast with each other and they really aren't just sedentary because he's like standing up and jumping around, like set his mic down and his controller down and like jog around the room. It's really kind of funny to watch. So conversation is just flowing, you know, and it's a mix of unschooled kids, homeschooled kids, public school kids, private schooled kids, kids who don't even turn their mic on because they don't want to say anything. You know, it's a mix of all these different kids and conversation is just flowing. And I because my new office is set right next to his space, I hear a lot more conversation. And so I kind of felt weird about whether or not I should be hearing the conversation because if he doesn't want me to hear conversation, I don't want to feel like I'm eavesdropping, but that's where my space is too. So again, with circling around each other's experiences and figuring out like the patterns and the flow and like what works for everyone. But in checking in with him and having this conversation, coming to the conclusion that he's willing to hear what I have to say if I'm willing to allow him to be the one to decide, it was great. So I wanted to talk about it a little bit because maybe that's a conversation you could have with your child or your teenager if language if it's something that you feel like is problematic in some way. And not all things are, you know, things that I would comment on. I'm only commenting on things that for me feel like are upholding systems that are currently harming marginalized groups of people, because I think that is very important in raising children with an intersectional understanding that for me is continuing to grow. I'm even though I've been trying to think this way intersectionally as much as possible for a handful of years now, I'm still new to sort of breaking down my language and decolonizing my thought process and understanding how words are upholding those systems that are in place that are harming people. So we have to change the language and changing the language starts with us in our homes. But when we're raising children this way, self-directed learners who, you know, we are respecting each other's autonomy and allowing each other individual experiences and respecting those boundaries, it's a difficult thing to do in that. But I think it's work that needs to be done by all families. So anyway, that is all I have on this topic today, but it's been on my mind and been happening in conversations with other parents. And I just felt like, you know, I'm going to speak about this and see if other parents might be feeling the same things. Friends, thanks for making it to the end of the episode. I appreciate you all for being here. And if you have anything to add to this little rambling monologue, I would love to hear from you. Anything that you've got to add on how we can better unpack some of this language while also still raising free-thinking individuals who are able to make the choices for themselves. It involves a great deal of trust. It really does. But I'd love to hear from how other people are dealing with this. You can find us on Instagram at The Unschool Files. You can comment on the episode square and we can have a conversation there, or you can shoot me a direct message. You are also welcome to send me an email, and that email is theunschoolfiles@gmail.com. Until the next conversation, stay kind to each other.